And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns. And the first thing I will say is we apologize for the delay. I think it's probably been about a month since Luke and I got on the podcast here together. It's just been a hectic time between the bowl game and recruiting and everything that's been going on in our lives specifically. So we apologize, but...
Yeah, well, there's also holidays and vacations and all that all that jazz as well. So,
yeah, it's been a crazy time, and there's been a lot that's happened in between. So we're gonna try to get out a quick little podcast here before tomorrow night. I'm trying to even think what to call it. A Gopher Internet with the Golden Line Club there at Fulton Brewery. I think it's sold out for the second straight year. So you guys are awesome. Can't wait to meet everybody once again and talk some Gopher football with some very smart people. So, Luke, let's get into it.
Okay, so the last time we talked, the Gophers were going into a bowl game. Now they have played that bowl game, and they have, you could say they've gotten the proverbial monkey off their back, and they've actually won a bowl game. It wasn't a great bowl, wasn't maybe even a great opponent, but a win's a win, so it's nice to see that take place and finally get that monkey off their back.
What I want to say about the bowl game is that this is a monumental day for everyone who stuck with me on Leidner Island throughout the season as our man, Mitch Leidner, took home the MVP of a bowl game, which to half the crowd of every Gopher fan, everybody's cheering, the other one is sitting there in disgust. But what I'm going to remember from that bowl game is that Mitch arguably played like a top three game in his career thus far. He was money.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because his stats would look even better if Drew Wolitarski was able to haul in that long touchdown pass that Leidner finally put on the money. The deep ball, which I've been talking about it since the spring and the fall, finally came together for the bowl game.
Right.
And, you know, a lot that would have been a 70-plus yard touchdown, I believe. And I just, you know, how crisp he was during that game and how, you know, the seniors were able to go out on a good note. Guys like Breambody Calhoun and Eric Murray, two future NFL corners, were just extremely chatty as well. That's another thing I'm going to take away is that I think these guys knew it was their last game and they just wanted to leave everything out on the field, and they were just chatting. Eric Murray, the guy who never talks, was getting in the face of people and letting them hear about it, which was so much fun to see. And his personality, you know, that always doesn't come on the field, which is very prevalent off the field, was finally able to make a show. So, you know, it was happy that Clay's was able to get the first bowl win with the kill/slash Clay's regime. Minnesota gets six wins and has a little bit of momentum heading into the 2016 season. But what are you going to take away from the bowl game, Luke?
I think ultimately, it was nice to see Leidner have some success. I thought offensively, again, they started to make – I mean, it wasn't nearly as good as, say, like that Michigan game, but it was a little more encouraging than we had seen all year. I take that away. Again, defensively, it was fun to see the defense healthier than it had been in quite some time and kind of maybe what we expected going into the season. So it was nice to see them play pretty well. That's probably the takeaway, but the biggest thing is obviously the fact that they just got the win, something that had eluded them for far too long. So let's transition and talk a little bit about changes on the staff. I don't recall if we actually talked about this yet, but, you know, they let Lime Grover go, they let Coach Z go, and they've now been replaced. So let's talk a little bit about Coach Miller and Coach Johnson. What do you know, Ryan, just from a high level at this point?
Well, as far as we can start with the offensive coordinator, so replacing Lime Grover and Zabrowski, as Zabrowski was the passing game coordinator and Lime Grover was the running game coordinator at Minnesota. Minnesota will have finally one guy calling the plays, whether it is run or pass, and that's going to be Lakeville native Jay Johnson, who comes from Louisiana Lafayette at down there in the Sun Belt Conference. And what I know about Jay is that he holds a couple of records down there at ULL. And then I think what Minnesota is trying to do and what Clay's was talking to the recruits about before the hire fits what Jay is going to bring perfectly. I think you're going to see a little bit more as far as changes. You know, I don't think there's going to be a tremendous amount of changes from what the Gophers ran in 2015 compared to what they're going to run in 2016. But what you are going to see is that there's going to be a little bit more Under center, there's going to be a little bit more pistol, which means the quarterback's out of shotgun, and instead of the running back lining up beside him, he's lined up behind him. So it's just a longer handoff, as far as an exchange between the center and the quarterback, but more power, more zone. And that's where Bart Miller comes in. Bart Miller, I think, is maybe the youngest. I mean, I don't have the stats or have the info in front of me right now, but I believe he's 31 years old. So he may be one of the youngest coaches in the Big Ten. And what his pedigree is he was, I believe in 2013, when Brett Bielema's was last year there, they fired their offensive line coach early on in the season because they were having struggles in the run game. And the GA at the time, I believe, was Bart Miller, and he took over for the rest of the season, and Wisconsin's running game was able to get back to where it is traditionally. And he's someone that is bringing a lot of momentum to the recruiting trail as well. He's telling all these offensive linemen, I want to be the biggest and most physical guys at the line of scrimmage. I want to dominate each and every play, which should be very good news to the ears of Gophers fans, as this offensive line is probably the biggest question mark heading into 2016 and ultimately may determine how successful the next season is for Minnesota. But I think Minnesota got both hires right with Jay Johnson and Bart Miller, and it's going to be interesting to follow them as spring football is only, I think, 5 weeks away already somehow. So it should be an exciting time here for Minnesota.
All right, let's talk a little bit of recruiting now. So obviously you've already alluded to that Miller is making an impact on the recruiting trail, with the tone that he's setting and the expectation that will be had for the offensive line. Let's start opposite the offensive line, though, and start with the defensive line. With the defense in particular, let's just kind of go through this quick, maybe view it as like a speed date. Let's talk about what's going on at defensive line and what we have and, what might happen, before National Signing Day coming up here in February.
I think this is the position that has the most fans concerned or interested, however you want to look at it, as how Minnesota does finish out their 2016 class as far as defensive line. What they have so far is a junior college defensive tackle in Merrick Jackson from Iowa Western. He's already on campus. He signed, sealed, and delivered. Teon Devers is a prep school kid from Georgia. He's a defensive end. He's already signed. He's already on campus. So you have two defensive linemen already in the fold. After that, I know Minnesota would like to add at least one or two, potentially, I don't think they'd get the three, but at least one or two more defensive linemen. And where they're going to come from is something that I'm very interested to see how things continue to unfold these next 9 days. They just missed out on one of their top targets last night in four-star Chicago defensive lineman Amir Watts. He was someone I think the staff out there were in good standing with. Hopefully they were hoping to get another visit, in-home visit this next week. And unfortunately, Watts committed to Pitt last night following his official visit. So what is Minnesota going to do? Well, first and foremost, I think there's a few different things that could come into play. If you want to start from the internal side of things, you could say that, Jerry Gibson has already switched from tight end to defensive end, and so you could count that as an addition. I also wonder if Colton Beebe, the 2015 fullback signee who also played, who I've heard is probably up to around 270 pounds now, could potentially be moving, it's not set in stone, nor it's just a theory at this point, but that Colton could switch to the defensive side of the ball as well. As far as high school targets to keep an eye on, I think the guy first and foremost we need to talk about is Iowa commit Noah Fant. The kid from Omaha, Nebraska, he's someone, as we record this Monday night, that Tracy Clays and Rob Rees are having an in-home visit with right now. And the draw for Fant to Minnesota is to medical school. He's a very good academic kid. He's someone that wants to be a doctor, wants to go into the medical profession. And Minnesota's got a very good medical school, as I'm sure most of our listeners already know. He's someone that has the position flexibility to play tight end or defensive end. And so does Ko Keefe, who Minnesota has currently committed at tight end. So it's going to – and Fant visits Minnesota this weekend, the last weekend here before signing day. So it's going to be very fun to follow that. Another guy to keep an eye on is defensive line commit who's currently committed to Virginia, I should say, and his name is Stephen Moy. He's someone that also came on an official visit to Minnesota last weekend. And while I haven't heard if the Gophers have offered, or he has a committable offer, I should say, he's someone that I could definitely see Minnesota making a big push for these next 9 days. He's someone who I think is probably going to grow into a defensive tackle, or a bigger defensive end, a guy who's 255, 260 pounds. Someone who I think has fans shaking their head up and down, thinking, wow, I would really like a 255-pound defensive end in the Big Ten going against Wisconsin, as would Minnesota. So he's another guy to keep an eye on. And the final guy I'll talk about for, just to keep things brief, position by position here, is Kamarion Johnson. He is someone currently committed to Miami of Ohio. He's someone who recently just got academically cleared, so now he's NCAA qualified. And he has a lot of Big Ten schools looking at him right now. I know Nebraska, Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, and Minnesota have inquired about him last week. And he's someone that on Tuesday night, Minnesota will be sending a coach out to Southfield, Michigan, the same city as 2015 signees Ray Buford and Dior Johnson, not the same high school, just the same city. But he's someone who's a lot like Theron Cochran, 6'5", 210 pounds. He's very athletic. He's very long. He's got long arms. So, I can see a lot of different things happening at defensive line. There's a lot of things that are going to change in the next 9 days, and maybe even by the time you hear this podcast, something has changed. So it's going to be a very fluid situation on the defensive line. It's going to be one of the more exciting parts, I think, to follow as signing day approaches.
All right, let's talk about linebackers. It seems like that position group has maybe been solidified for some time, but just brief us quickly, who do we have, and is there going to be any changes coming forward?
I think Minnesota's pretty set in stone at linebacker. They have, I'm sure everybody knows, Carter Coughlin. He's a Scout 100 kid. I think he's the 51st overall recruit in the nation. He's going to play next year. Barring an injury, he's going to be on the field next year. He's a four-star talent, almost a five-star. He's one of the highest-rated recruits Minnesota's signed, I think, in this decade. So hopefully Minnesota finally has some good luck with their top prospect in the state. It's 2015. Was Jeff Jones 2014? I think he was.
Yeah, technically, I think he was.
And with Jeff now at Iowa Western, JoJo Garcia deciding that he doesn't want to play football anymore, Andre McDonald having issues of his own, it's nice for Minnesota to finally, hopefully, have a top kid in the state, actually play for them and play well. So I have a lot of high expectations for Carter. They also have Thomas Barber, the Gopher legacy. Everyone knows about the Barbers, Don Barber, Marion Barber, and Mr. Barber himself. So Thomas is already also on campus. He signed, sealed, and delivered. He's going to be doing spring ball as well. And the guy that may be, I think, the most, I don't know if under-talked about it or just underappreciated from this class, is Burnsville's Kamal Martin. He is someone that I know the staff has very, very high expectations for, someone who probably will come in next year right away and play as a rush defensive end, as will Carter. But he's already, I think, 235 pounds. He's a legitimate 6'3", 6'4". He's a very, very athletic kid. And I think you'll see Carter. I think you'll see Kamal Martin as well play a little bit of rush defensive end next year, potentially, depending on how things go this summer and in fall camp. But having a Julian Huff type role where then if Minnesota needs to rush the passer, as Jay Savelle finally gets the hold of the defense and does what he wants to do. But with Kamal and Carter and Thomas, I haven't heard about Minnesota seriously looking at any more linebackers as Chase Pine, a kid from Virginia who's committed to Pitt, decided to shut things down. So Minnesota is very happy with what they have at linebacker with those three guys.
All right, so in the defensive backfield, I know there's been a little change in the last handful of weeks, with a commitment and, some decommitments. Where do the Gophers stand now at defensive back?
I think the last time we talked to folks, Minnesota had, I think, Elijah Battle, Elijah Daniels. And I just realized Minnesota's had three Elijahs decommit since we talked last, and they're all in the secondary. I don't know what the chances are of that. But what I will first say about those three guys is, while I say they're decommits, they are not. It's not the recruit's decision on these. Elijah Battle has academic issues that Minnesota didn't know about prior to him signing, and he is not going to be a qualifier, so Minnesota is cutting the ties with him, and he won't be a part of the class, and the same goes for the Daniels brothers. Minnesota parted ways with them as they have academic issues to clean up. And as of right now, I know fans have been messaging me saying, well, they just committed to Maryland. How can they, you know, go to Maryland and not have the grades to get into Minnesota? I can tell you as of this recording, on the night of January 25th, that the Daniels brothers wouldn't make it into Maryland right now. They don't have the test scores and or just the academics in general to make it into a college. So they have work to do in Minnesota. Didn't want to chance it. So who does Minnesota currently have committed? Good question, Luke. So they have three corners currently committed, Antoine Winfield Jr., Coney Durr, and Keandre Thomas. I've talked about this, I think, extensively in the last few weeks. If you're looking for who's going to replace Brian Boddy, who's going to replace Eric Murray, I think Keandre Thomas is your Eric Murray-type guy, and I think that Coney Durr is your Brian Boddy-type guy. Keandre is a very hard worker. He's got a great motor, and he's very big, very long. And he's extremely fast. He's a 6-foot kid who ran an electronic 4.4, and you don't find that a lot in high school. Coney is a lot like Brian, where he's very football savvy. He has a very good football IQ, and he's very explosive. I think Coney ends up being a bigger, more explosive Brian Boddy Calhoun for a guy who was all Big Ten twice in his last 2 years. That should be very good news to Gophers fans. I think all three of these guys, Antoine included, could play right away next year. With Craig James transferring to Southern Illinois to be closer to his family. So how does Minnesota finish out the class? Well, the guy who is could be making a decision anytime now is Memphis safety commit Tyrez Lindsey. He just took an official visit to Minnesota this past weekend. I just talked with him this evening. He had a very good visit, and he's going to make a decision here in the coming days. I know that Clays and Savell will be in this week to see him, but if Minnesota is able to get Tyrez Lindsey, from what I've heard, they're just going to end the class at 4, and Saville would be a very, very happy man if Coney Durr sticks with Minnesota after, you know, some late interest / offers from North Carolina, Virginia Tech, among others. So if Minnesota can sign Tyrez Lindsey, Coney Durr, Antoine Winfield, and Keandre Thomas, Minnesota's had a very good year in the secondary to try and replace some NFL guys.
All right, I have no idea, but do we have any specialists in this class?
That's a very good question, and I think it's something I'll probably get to talk about more tomorrow night. I know people love specialist recruiting for some reason, but that is the thing I've been wondering most, is Minnesota is bringing in a kicker from a preferred walk-on kicker from Arrowhead, Wisconsin, and they're not bringing in a punter from what I've been told about this final weekend. And so does that mean Ryan Santoso is going to become a punter full-time and that, you know, someone like Andrew Hart, Emmett Carpenter, and so on could replace him as on the field goal unit? I have a hard time believing Minnesota would just move on from Santoso at kicker, considering he made every extra point. He only missed, I think it was 3 or 4 field goals, and every one was beyond 40. The ones he missed were beyond 40 or 45 yards. I mean, he was all Big Ten honorable mention. He's got a heck of a leg. So maybe Santoso is your full-time punter and kicker next year. I don't know. But all I can tell you is Minnesota, as of right now, as far as I know recording this, is only bringing in a preferred walk-on kicker next weekend. And that'll be the first specialist they brought on campus on an official visit, to my knowledge. So that's going to be something I am very intrigued to hear more about from my sources as signing day approaches.
All right, let's flip to the offensive side of the ball, and let's start with offensive line. I know it's been pretty well documented on the websites and the Twitter sphere that we've had some changeover at offensive line. So can you recap us on where we are now?
So with the 2015 season now being over and done with, Minnesota's going to end up losing 7 offensive linemen. So we have John Christensen, Joe Bjorklund. Oh, man. Help me out here, Luke Wall.
Foster Bush.
Yep, Foster. All right, let me see. Foster Bush, Brian Bobek, and Josh Campion. Mm-hmm. 5 seniors that will be graduating, plus 2 redshirt juniors.
Yep.
And Ben Lauer and Isaac Hayes are going to be going as well. They got their degrees in engineering, and they're deciding to move on with their lives. So best of luck to those 7, but how does Minnesota replace those 7? That is a tall task, considering Minnesota needs bodies that are ready to play right away. And the two guys that have been have a lot of expectations by them for themselves and from this coaching staff are two JUCO offensive linemen in Vincent Calhoun and Garrison Wright. Calhoun ultimately chose Minnesota over Mississippi State, and Garrison chose Minnesota over TCU. So they're guys with offers, guys that I think should be slated probably in to play left and right guard next year.
Sure.
Minnesota, with both Christensen and Bjorklund departing, and Connor Mays having, trying to get, to that next level, I think Calhoun and Wright are going to push Connor Mays absolutely, which is better for all three of them, knowing that you have somebody behind you pushing you. But as of right now, I have Calhoun and Wright slated to start at both guard spots. Those guys are December graduates, and they're on campus right now and taking classes. Minnesota's also really done well in state recruiting for their offensive linemen, as far as Connor Olsen and Sam Schluter, two guys that are very highly rated by scout. They're both top 50 offensive linemen in the country at their position. Sam at tackle and Connor at guard. Connor and Sam are both very athletic guys that Minnesota's, very excited to get on board here as well. I think since we talked, did we talk about the Sean Foster and Matt Cagle decommits? I don't remember.
I think that we talked to it a little bit. If I remember correctly, it sounded like, at least with the Foster thing, that was a mutual decision, right?
Yes, Foster has since moved on to Iowa State, and Cagle
decided to go to Oklahoma State. Yeah.
All right. So as far as offensive line recruiting, the next 72 hours are absolutely crucial. There's a lot of guys making decisions. The first guy I'll start with is Missouri offensive line commit currently, Tristan Castillo from Webb City, Missouri. For those wondering why Webb City sounds familiar to you in the back of your mind, it's the same high school as 2015 cornerback signing Keontae Harden, who had a very good year for Minnesota as a freshman, and is also where Jerry Kill started his coaching career. So Minnesota has a lot of ties down there. I know that Coach Miller and Coach Reeves have an in-home visit with Castillo tomorrow night when we are at the beer and football event there at the Fulton Brewery. So that's going to be something for fans to watch for. And then on Wednesday, Coach Miller and Coach Clays are heading down to see Lloyd Cushenberry down there in Dutchtown, Louisiana. He's currently committed to South Carolina. That one's going to be a little bit more of a stretch as he's got multiple offers closer to home and also on the SEC. But Minnesota does have his teammate Tony Durk currently committed. And obviously, there's been a lot of talk about Patrick Castle, the Forest Lake offensive lineman currently committed to Wisconsin that Minnesota made a run at earlier. I think it was probably 8 days ago now. The latest I've heard is that Castle, while he's flattered by the Minnesota attention, is still going to remain solid in his commitment to Wisconsin. But I will preface this by saying there is 9 days until National Signing Day, and there is a ton of things that are going to change between now and then. And as far as the last thing I'll say in offensive line recruiting for this class, there is other things going on behind the scenes, other things that I can't really talk about a whole lot right now, but Minnesota does have an ace up their sleeve. So maybe one or two things going in the works, but again, I hate to tease, but again, I just don't want fans to significantly worry. There are things going on behind the scenes, but Minnesota's got four committed right now. I would imagine at least one or two more come signing day.
All right, let's move to maybe tight end. What do they have? I know we touched on this a little bit already, but what do they have at tight end again?
They have Iowa's Coe Keith. Coe is someone that came up to camp this past summer and just really impressed Coach Reeves. I remember being at camp that day. He played defensive end, tight end, H-back. He played everything. He was someone that staff worked out intensively, and someone that Reeves just really fell for. And he eventually got an offer in mid-December, and he committed very shortly after that. He's someone that Minnesota is very high on now. I think he's someone that's going to play a more of a Y role in this offense, which means I think Coe is just going to be doing a lot more of the nitty gritty blocking type things. Whereas, you know, a guy like Brandon Lingan, maybe a little bit more of a pass catching tight end, like a Max Williams. Coe is the guy that mm-hmm. can beat you with his legs, yes, but he's a very good blocker. He's very physical. He's also a wrestler. I think he's like 29-2 this year in wrestling, and as a I think he's 220 pounder. I don't know enough about wrestling classes, but as far as the only guy that Minnesota would also bring in for tight end would be Noah Fant. Noah is the Iowa commit right now. He's from Omaha. He's someone, as I mentioned, Minnesota's in a meeting with as we record this. So Minnesota's doing all they can to try and flip the Iowa commit. He's been I think he's been committed there for at least 4, 5, 6 months. So sure. That'd be a heck of a get for Minnesota close to signing day. Fant is extremely, extremely athletic. That's one of the biggest, you know, strengths about him. One of the things that makes him so appealing to all these different programs is because of his athleticism. So Minnesota is going to do all they can with those two. And for those wondering about Chase Allen, he was a tight end that Minnesota had offered and had brought an official visit at this point. The latest I've heard is that Allen is no longer a take. Minnesota decided that Allen wasn't really what they were looking for. Again, fans listening to this say, well, he's got Florida State, Michigan, and Nebraska offers. What about him doing, don't they like, again, I'm just telling you, Minnesota has moved on. They haven't seen him the entire month of January, and they've put their chips in other places. So Noah Fant, Cole Keefe, those are the two guys to keep an eye on.
Okay. Wide receiver seems to be a position, you know, of need still. And there's seemingly been, you know, some stability in the recruiting there and also some instability. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Which position was that?
Wide receiver.
Oh, man. Again, look, I think the question that I get every day, 20 times a day, is what ends up happening with Dredrick Snelson? Yeah, and I can't tell you how the Snelson saga ends. I can tell you it ends in 9 days, but it is a kerfuffle, to say the least. You know, he's taken an official visit to UCF. You know, there are rumors that he was there again last weekend. All I know is that Minnesota wants Dredrick Snelson as of this recording Monday night. Minnesota will be sending coaches down later this week to go see Dredrick and try to get him firmed up, as Matt Limegrover, who is now at Penn State, is trying to get Dredrick to Penn State, and he takes an official visit there this upcoming weekend.
Sure.
So how does Snelson saga end? I don't know. That's the God honest truth. I don't know how this thing's going to go. Obviously, a lot of people don't think that Snelson's going to sign with Minnesota. That wouldn't shock me. You know, maybe Snelson signs with Minnesota. That wouldn't shock me either. I don't know how this is going to play out, but all I know is Minnesota has three other really good wide receivers that Scout has rated pretty highly. I believe they're all ranked within their position group, which means Minnesota has give me a second here. I will tell you, actually, where these guys rank. So they have Philip Howard, who is the 66th ranked wide receiver in the entire country. They have Drew Himmelesky from Marshall, Minnesota, who's ranked the 69th best. And they also have Tyler Johnson, who is ranked the 52nd best. Put that in perspective, we have Dredrick Snelson rated as 142nd best. So for all these fans worrying and losing sleep about Dredrick Snelson, know that Minnesota has three pretty good in-state recruits committed to them currently. And even if Snelson does choose to go elsewhere, Minnesota's sitting just fine with those guys. So I only really anticipate things going on with those four guys, Luke. There are a couple other guys Minnesota's looking at, but I don't think it's worth time to talk about them right now. So Minnesota, with the crop of in-state wide receivers that they've had this year, they had to capitalize on it, and they've done so. So Minnesota's done well.
Okay, let's talk running back. You know, there's some news even this evening at the running back position.
Yeah, we had to delay this recording a little bit, and so my apologies to Luke, but Minnesota picked up a commitment from Butler Community College down there in Kansas, a running back from the JUCO ranks. His name is Kobe McCrary, someone who's originally out of Florida. He's someone that Minnesota really wants to come in and be the big back for this class with Roderick Williams graduating and someone that can bring some much needed experience in, and, you know, as far as in the college ranks with both, oh my gosh, Shannon Brooks and Roddy Smith. You know, Minnesota, obviously all fans know how good those two are, how good they worked as a duo last year, but they also were banged up and missed time. And Kobe, bringing in Kobe means you have a big back, plus you have a guy who's experienced. You know, the next question I get asked the most, well, what does that mean about James Johannesson and Jonathan Femi Cole, two guys that Minnesota signed in 2015 to be running backs? What I have to say there is that just be patient. Again, Jonathan is coming from Canadian football and trying to adjust to Big Ten football. It's a little bit of an adjustment. It's going to take a little bit more than, you know, just, you know, a year or two. So expectations tempered there. And the same goes for Fargo's James Johannesson. There's a difference between playing football in Fargo, North Dakota, and playing football against Wisconsin or playing football against Ohio State. Okay, they're very good athletes. There's no doubt about that. But as far as them continuing to transition, just give it some time. So bringing in Kobe just gives Minnesota some experience there for the 2016 season. The other running back I'll talk about that Minnesota would love to add here close to signing day is Georgia's Arkeem Byrd. He's someone that visited Minnesota on Halloween, someone that is a phenomenal athlete. He's be another Georgia running back to add to the stables that Minnesota's done very well with, obviously with Rodney and Shannon. They would love to make it a trio with Arkeem. I know from talking to his coach today, he had Clemson and South Carolina in to see him. And Minnesota will also be throwing a conglomerate of coaches at him later this week. If Minnesota is able to get Arkeem Byrd out of Savannah, Georgia, with all these different schools looking at it, it'd be a heck of a get for Coach Anderson and for the staff. So besides Arkeem Byrd and Kobe McCrary, you know, I think Minnesota's got a lot of talent that is very young on the roster, but those are the only two names to really talk about.
All right, let's close this conversation out with by far probably the most interesting position that people love to talk about, being the quarterback position.
Seth Green, what a time to be alive. Seth Green comes home to Minnesota. First thing I'll say about Seth Green, for everyone who thinks he is going to be the next savior of Minnesota quarterbacks, please give him at least 24 to 36 months for that to happen. Seth Green is, I shouldn't say, all right. Please don't think Seth Green is going to come in this 2016 season and beat out Mitch Leidner for the starting spot. I have a very, very hard time believing that's going to happen. Seth, while he is very talented and very athletic, he's got a ways to go. I mean, there's a reason why he was highly recruited, yes, but I have a hard time believing someone named Mitch Leidner is not going to start this year unless Mitch gets hurt. And if Mitch does get hurt, he's just going to be Demery. So again, temper your expectations for Seth Green. It's a heck of a get. He's already on campus, so Minnesota fans don't have to worry anymore. And for fans who want to come out to spring ball, with Mitch having foot surgery, that means Demery Croft and Seth Green are going to get a ton and ton and ton of work, which I know Gopher fans would love to drool over and tell me why that they should be starting over Mitch Leidner. So please, I would encourage you to come out during spring ball in about 2 months. But as far as Seth Green, there's one other quarterback to talk about, and that's Jackson, Alabama's DeMarcus Williams. He's someone that was up for the Alabama Player of the Year Award, someone that Jay Johnson has identified as someone he's been recruiting since he was at Louisiana Lafayette that he would love to add to his quarterback stables. Jackson has a very good arm. He's 6'1", 6'2", 180 pounds, someone that I think could be a very, very good athlete here at Minnesota if he doesn't work out at the quarterback position. He is a quarterback by trade. And he has a very good arm. You know, watch this film. He fits into a lot of tight windows. He's got for a guy who's only 6'2", 180 pounds, the dude can sling it. He's throwing it 70-plus yards. And he's going to visit this weekend. He's also picked up an offer from Memphis recently. So Seth Green already in, and Chris Trevler moving positions, Jock Pera moving on to St. Thomas. DeMarcus Williams is the other name to know, but Seth and DeMarcus will probably make it to class for Minnesota at the quarterback position.
All right, well, I think we should maybe let you go here, and maybe we'll catch you after signing day when you've got, maybe we'll give you like a week to decompress, or do you go into like a coma like state, or what happens after that?
I can't even see 9 days from now. My eyes hurt from staring at a screen all day. My phone has been recharged twice today. It is a busy time, but man, is it, it's fun to be a part of, especially with Minnesota having their best recruiting class to date. They're in the top 40 in the nation right now, which is something they haven't finished at under Jerry Kill / Tracy Clay. So it's a very exciting time to be a Minnesota fan. To set up the next couple of episodes, as Luke said, we'll probably do one, you know, shortly after signing day, after I finally get to sleep more than 4 hours in a day. And then we're also going to try to find, it's where in the world is Derek Burns? Because I have called Derek, I've texted Derek, I have emailed Derek, I have direct messaged Derek, I have sent carrier pigeons to try and find Derek Burns, but I cannot get anything back from him. I think he must be out of the country or something. That, or he just really doesn't want to talk to me anymore. That the season is over. But
I think the latter is probably more likely, that he just doesn't want to talk to you.
Realistically, that probably is the option, but I don't want to accept it. So we're just going to keep thinking Derek is just out of touch right now. So eventually when we do find Derek and get him on the phone again, we're going to break down the offensive line now under Bart Miller, what that's going to mean from, you know, an offensive line perspective. And then we'll also talk more about Jay Johnson's offense. So, and we may even get into more of Jay Sobel as defensive coordinator, and what I can tell you, there's going to be a couple of changes. Can't say right now because I would get murdered, but there will be some changes to the defense. Not a ton of changes, but just some things here and there. So, we will have more episodes coming, I promise. We won't have as much of an interlude in between next, but again, between the holidays, busy schedules, and, you know, Luke and I finally connecting for more than 15 minutes at a time. This was the first time we've been able to do so. So other than that, I hope to see a lot of you guys there tomorrow night at the beer and football event at the Fulton Brewery there for the Goal Line Club, for, you know, the Minnesota Golden Gopher Football's Booster Club. Me, Matt Humbert from the Daily Gopher, Joe Christensen from the Star Tribune, and Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press are all going to be talking tomorrow night. Some Gopher football. It is, I believe it starts at 6, doors open at 5, and it's unlimited. It's a pizza buffet. You get a free drink, plus it's Gopher football with a bunch of Gopher fans. I don't know what else you could ask for, Luke, but it's going to get a little bit busier here on the podcast with spring ball. I think only 5 or 6 weeks away already somehow. And it's a very exciting time.
Definitely. All right. So we'll catch you soon. It'll be fun to see how this whole thing rounds out. So, you know, get some sleep, man.
I'll do what I can. Appreciate everybody for listening, and go Gophers.